This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Good Samaritan Society Indianola, Two Rivers Cooperative, Van Manen Seed and Chemical, Suter Family Farms, Norm Rosendahl Tiling and Septic, Carter Construction, and Iowa State Savings Bank. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our Marion County morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Marion County Fair Association, Pleasantville Clinic, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, Cargill Corn Milling in Eddyville, and Marion County Bank. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How many acres of corn and beans will likely be planted this year? What do the markets look like? In the fourth part of a five-part in-depth program on agriculture, let's go in-depth with Leslie Miller, ag banker at the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. Well, Leslie, this warm weather recently has had, last few days anyway, has some farmers pretty excited, I bet.
Yes, we've had an excellent start here this week. Going to have some wet weather moving in, but we've had a good start for corn planting, and not that farmers are planting right yet. It's a little too early. The soil's not quite warm enough, but the important thing is they're getting lots of time to get the fields ready and get anhydrous on. We had the least amount of anhydrous put on last fall that we've ever had, so farmers need to make up for that this spring. And fortunately, we're getting that weather window now where we can get a lot of anhydrous put on the fields, and then they'll be ready to plant.
Well, the USDA came out with some reports yesterday about projected plantings, amount of acres in corn and soybeans and a whole lot of other crops, I presume. How does it look for this year?
Well, the report actually was a surprise to some people. If you looked at the average trade guess, we on corn acres, we came up with about almost 500,000 more acres, about 468,000 more acres of corn projected to be planting compared to what the average guess was ahead of this report. What that means is that they're expecting a lot more corn to be raised, and the corn market responded yesterday by going down 18 cents. And that was a surprise. They felt like soybean acres might be much higher than they were. They were actually up a little bit, but not nearly. They were like 1.2 million acres less projected to be planted for soybeans than what that average guess was. So soybeans actually were up yesterday, and as a result of that. So the mix of crop acres was a surprise to the traders, and the markets showed that with the fact that corn went down so badly and beans actually were up about 5 or 6 cents.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Marion County Auto Body, Knoxville Tax Service, Pet Haven, Lighton State Bank, Iowa Elevator Systems and Service Inc., Animal Health Center of Knoxville, and Two Rivers Cooperative. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our Marion County morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Laley, Central College, Dutch Meadows Garden Center, Meniga Pest Control, Twyla Wilson, Wilson Marketing, and Two Rivers Cooperative. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation with Leslie Miller, ag banker with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. Are these predictions pretty accurate?
There are a lot of modifications to the planting reports as they go on, and it's interesting. Right now there's two theories on whether you believe the acres that USDA came out with or whether you don't. There's one camp that actually thinks USDA did not factor in enough planted acres for all crops. They think that acres across the board should be much higher than what USDA projected. And the arm of USDA that puts these numbers together is called NAS. They think these NAS numbers should be a lot higher than what they are. There's another camp that says no. If you look at the acres that farmers actually report to the government after they're done planting, those are the acres you should look at, and NASS has not been looking as closely at those acres as they did in the past. So they think that USDA, NASS maybe actually is over-reporting acres in some cases. Some very specific state reports showed by NASS showed an increase in corn acres in Texas and in some of the southern states where it's actually been very wet, and corn planting is way behind what it normally is. So there's some speculation that maybe some of those acres really will not wind up as corn acres. There's a lot of talk in Texas about some of those corn acres actually going to sorghum, which the Chinese are very interested in buying right now. So there's an economic incentive for farmers to stop planting corn and start planting sorghum on those late acres. So these acres could change slightly. They'll have final reports in July, but for right now, the trade doesn't want to totally disbelieve them. They'll argue them back and forth, but there's an adage that the traders on the floor of the Board of Trade say, and that's that you don't trade against the USDA. And so they're going to have to take those acres and work them into their buy and sell patterns.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Hewitt Service Center, Tri-County Veterinary Clinic, Carriker's Auto Outlet, and Don's Heating and Cooling. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our Marion County morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@caniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Farm and Home, Motor and Auto Group of Knoxville, Knoxville Raceway, Piercebach Funeral Home, Verduft Agency, and People's Bank in Pleasantville.
I continued my conversation with Leslie Miller, Ag Banker with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville.
How are prices compared to last year?
That's the part that I think is really tough for the farmers, particularly in our area, because we didn't have quite the jump in corn yields here that they maybe had in some counties in Iowa. But right now, for example, at Cargill, I could sell corn for $3.75. A year ago at this time, I could sell it for $4.87. And if you look at the yields people had and where prices are, I mean, that's taking $180, $190 an acre off someone's income. And it doesn't take very many acres for that to add up to be fairly substantial. On beans, it's the same thing. You know, South Central has a bid of $9.10 on beans this morning. Last year at this time, it was $14.17. So, again, when you look at that change in price with the bean yield, that's $250 an acre less income on bean ground. And it's the same thing as far as forward pricing. We've got corn acres or corn prices that are a little over a dollar less for December compared to what December forward pricing of last year would have been. And beans are about $2.50 less than what they would have been a year ago. So we are definitely in an era where we're going to have much lower prices going into fall unless we get a weather rally. And there is a significant chance for that as well. So there's lots of play in these markets. I think farmers should not give up hope. Hopefully they've done some forward pricing already and locked in some halfway decent prices. But if they haven't, you know, a lot of times we do get a weather rally. We've got wet acres or we've got wet ground in the south, so things are not getting planted in quite as timely a manner. Which can reduce yields or can cause farmers to switch from one crop to another. We've got very dry areas, drought areas in the western Corn Belt, which will affect yields. So there's some potential weather market scares that could rally this market a little bit, and that would help.
Well, doing the numbers in my head that you just gave us for a farmer that's just doing corn and beans, we're talking 25 to 30%, I don't know, less income.
Yes,
is that right?
That's correct. And the one thing that a lot of people that do not farm for a living do not realize is that the input costs for farming are very, very high. So once farmers break even, once they reach that break even price, they can make a significant amount of money. The dollar of income for every bushel of corn or bushel of soybeans that's sold, 100% of that after they hit break even goes back to the farmer. Well, right now just the opposite is true. If you don't hit break even, you lose a lot of money very quickly. And right now we're in a situation where, with all the inputs figured in and some of the cash rents that are out there, farmers cannot hit break even on their corn and soybeans. And so those people will lose money, and they could lose money pretty rapidly.
So we're not even at the break even point now?
No, not with these prices that we have right now. And I will give you it does depend on what their land cost is. Land rents right now on the average in Marion County are above that break-even point. But some people have good landlords that have maybe allowed them to pay a little bit less this next year, or they have rents that have been in place for a long time, a long relationship, so they're not quite as high. Those people will be okay. People who have recently cash rented ground at very high prices, they could lose a substantial amount of money this year with the prices that we have in place.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Precision Chiropractic, Culligan Water, Heartland Co-op of Prairie City, Monroe and Newton, DeVore Homes, Red Ribbon Bakery, McGriff's Farm and Home of New Sharon, and Skuring and Utermarkt. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our Marion County morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Midwest One Bank, Marion County Farm Bureau, Harsin Construction, Pleasantville FFA Alumni, Frisian Farms Cheese, Farmers Cooperative Company, Pella Precast Products, and Pleasantville Care Living Center.
I continued my conversation with Leslie Miller, Ag Banker with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville.
So how are those cash rents established? Is there some kind of guidelines for people?
It's a very aggressive marketplace on cash rents. Every farmer is in competition for every acre that's out there. Some people, some landlords, they want a return on their investment in land, and so they will tie it somewhat to what the value of land is. But if you look at what actually takes place, again, it's just a very aggressive bidding process. It's no different than if someone goes to an auction and they watch people bidding against each other for household goods or whatever. Sometimes you drive stuff up past the price that it might cost if you went out and bought it brand new and in the store. But it's that fuels the fire a little bit. Commodity prices, they certainly are the number one driver of land rent values. And so these land rents have been bid up very aggressively in the last few years, not only competition between farmers, but because we have had high prices. And some people even locked in land at high rents for 3 or 5 years. Well, now that prices are down, land rents should start coming down, but there's a lag factor. And most land rents in Iowa are actually negotiated in the month of August. And last August, things were not quite as severe price-wise as they are now. So I look for this next August for there to be a lot of changes in what land rental values are. We were up at the Ag Conference this past week and talking with bankers from the northern part of the state, and several of them reported that there had been a lot of walkaways. And by walkaways, they meant farmers had promised to rent land for $450 to $500 an acre. Now, this is really good ground. This is like 200 bushel plus ground. And so it's very, very high quality ground. And what the landlords found is when March 1st came, they didn't get their rent, and instead the farmer said they couldn't afford to rent that land. So the farmer had to go back into the marketplace, and land that he got $450 to $500 an acre for, the landlord could only get $350 an acre for that same land. And so as a result, looking at that and some of the other anecdotal information we're hearing, we know cash rents are coming down, but the real proof or the real work in that area will not actually take place till August, because that's when most contracts are renegotiated.
Well, with this happening with cash rents, then I suspect that we're going to have a correction in the real estate market then, too, for the value of land. I mean, there for year after year after year, it was going up 8%, 14%, up and up and up. Is it going to correct now?
Yes, and it has been correcting. The Realtors Institute released their information yesterday indicating an average of a 7.6% decline in farmland values. And actually, it's off about 15% from what the high was. This is the second decline that the Institute reported. If you talk to any of these surveyors or these people collecting data on land values, they usually ask what are the major factors driving land prices, and what other land values are going up or down. Commodity prices and interest rates are usually number one and two on the list. Well, we have seen the impact of commodity prices with land values coming down. Commodity prices are down, so land values are coming down. We have not yet seen any impact from interest rate. There's discussion that the Fed will raise interest rates this year, which will cause interest rates on land loans to go up. That could also have an effect on driving land prices down further.
Now, most of our listeners aren't farmers, as you know. What should they take away from this today?
The takeaway, just from a broad perspective in Marion County, there'll be fewer dollars coming from our farmers to spend on goods and services here in Marion County. It does have a big impact on the economy of Marion County as a whole. Also, the state of Iowa. If farmers are not making money, they're not paying income taxes, it makes less money available for the state to spend on roads and schools and those things. So it does affect us overall. And agriculture is such a huge part, not only of our local economy, but our state economy, that it does have a big impact. Mm. Overall, unfortunately, a decline in corn values does nothing for the consumer at the grocery store. I think I saw an article yesterday where they said that now, instead of the cost of the corn in a box of cornflakes being 6 cents, it's now only 4 cents a box. So for the realtors to actually, or the realtors, the buyers or the consumers at the grocery store to actually see the retail prices reflect much of a drop is a pretty rare occurrence. It just does not show up. One place it could show up, though, is in the meat case. These cheap corn prices have made for cheap feed, which has allowed the people who produce pork to put a lot more pounds on every pig that goes to market. And as a result of that, we may see a lot more pork in the grocery store, which could bring down the prices of pork. It might also help moderate any increases in the price of beef. So that's one positive note for the consumers. But as far as most of the goods that people can consume, we won't see the rollback in the grocery store like the farmers see. And instead, the more immediate impact on us is just having the farmers in our community not have as many dollars to spend, not having as much tax revenue from the ag sector. They won't be buying tractors to the extent that they have been, so those manufacturers will not have the business that they've had. It's a big rolling impact on the state of Iowa.
Any other silver lining you can think of?
I want to end it on a positive note and point out that fortunately we have a great cattle industry in Marion County. Lots of cow-calf producers had a great calving season. They should have a very successful year.
Thanks to Leslie Miller for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.